Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
The inside story on the teams, suppliers, and circuits. Inside on RadioLeMans.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special programme here on the Radio Show Limited of audio and visual channels. It's another one of our inside stories. And bizarrely, for this inside story, I'm outside. I'm in the paddock at Bahrain. It's just after the end of the 2023 World Endurance Championship season. The car's on the track for the end of season rookie test. And today we're going to be looking into the workings of this championship and indeed the other championships that are administered and run by LMEM, Le Mans Endurance Management.
Inside on RadioLeMans.com.
And I'm delighted to say that joining me now is the man who, I suppose, all of the responsibility falls on to make sure everything is in the right place at the right time. Operations management, logistics, it all comes under the person sitting to my right, that's Pascal Dimitri. Pascal, first of all, thank you for talking to us. End of a season now, things getting packed up, so obviously you're going to have a nice holiday and a couple of months off.
Hello everyone, well it's a pleasure speaking to you first of all. End of the season is not really the case. We are finishing the WEC, we just finished a few weeks ago European Le Mans Series. But we are starting the new season for Asian Le Mans Series. So it's going to be starting again for making the link between this year and next year with that five races we're going to have in Sepang, Dubai and Abu Dhabi. It has been intense and it will be intense next year again.
Well, let's talk about the Asian Le Mans Series first of all, because the situation with COVID meant that a lot of racing stopped. You managed to keep the Asian Le Mans Series continuing in a very clever way by having the whole season at two different racetracks pretty close to each other in the Middle East, in the United Arab Emirates, over two weekends. That happens normally at the start of the year. We've now gone back to a calendar that is split over 2 years, and you've added in a race within Asia at Sepang. How much extra organisation and what specific challenges does that make for you and I suppose the teams and the drivers as well?
Well, it's our target regarding Asian Le Mans Series is always to go back to Asia. As you mentioned, COVID has put us in a difficult situation, but we managed to organise these races, as you mentioned, on two weekends. And it was pretty a successful thing for the teams and the drivers. Now we have to take back Asian Le Mans Series to Asia, and we have to bring it back to these nice racetrack we have in Sepang, first of all, and many others we will see in the next seasons. It is complicated, but we have the support of a dedicated team, small team, but dedicated, that we is running and helping us to build it with Colin, Jane, Jackie, and the support of SRO this year with Benjamin. Benjamin is a good guy and he's working very hard on it. Yeah, it's a lot of work because we are targeting to get a lot of teams with us. But I think for the teams it's interesting at the moment with the format we have, because it allows them to, when they finish the season with European Le Mans Series, to jump to the Asian Le Mans Series, so they have the cars available, they have their team available, and they have as well drivers willing to drive and to prepare themselves for the next season in big championship like European Le Mans Series or even World Championship.
The partnership with Stefan Rattel's organisation, SRO, how does that affect your side of things with the organisation and the logistics? They're taking on looking after the sporting side of things, clearly. But does it affect what you and your small team do very much, or are you still having to drive along that logistical support?
Well, we are already working on closely with them. It didn't affect much. We are starting to get to work together and taking the best part of each side to make it work as a team and work together to make it bigger. This is really the target, because they have a real knowledge. We have people in our crew which were in the past running the Asian Le Mans Series in Asia and so have very good links. And we put all the things together to make it work as best as possible. On the sporting side already, with Colin, who is running that and used to work for years with us, and as well on the logistics, every bit and part which gets help or ease the situation is good to get. And so that's what we're using and try to teach each other what we know or get the knowledge on each other.
I think our listeners and racing supporters will understand what a racing team has to do to move around the country and indeed around the world, as you do with ELMS, with Asian Le Mans Series, and of course here in the WEC. But what does the series have to do? Because there will be people, I'm sure, Pascal, who are sitting out there saying, well, surely all I've got to do is jump on a plane and make sure the hotels are booked. But there's far more than that, because there's equipment, there's all kinds of technical. What are we talking about in terms of how much freight is, for example, right now coming out of this paddock here in Bahrain?
Well, in 2023, we've been, like the past years, pushing to do as much as possible sea freight. If we look at here in Bahrain, we have 170 containers that has been traveling from Japan, some coming from Europe, and this is creating the whole paddock, which all the cars, all the equipment inside. LMEM and the WC organization is organizing with our partner, DHL, the route, the transportation, and the teams just have to get their equipment ready, put them in the container, provide the documentation, and we are making it happening to be transported from one place to another. When I was saying that we pushed very hard to have most of the transportation in sea freight, it's for our sustainability program. We are pushing hard to have this. We are running all the transportation by sea freight with biofuel. That's important for us and to reduce the impact of the championship on the earth. And all this is to make it as protective for our future. And so this is really important to us. More of these things are to become. The only thing is, in the future, due to the fact that we have more races, we have one more race, definitely will not be able to use what we did this year, having only sea freight. We'll introduce two legs with a charter in air freight, but we managed to keep it at two, because 2 years ago, when the craziness of the transportation around the world with the impact from the COVID, the start of the war in Ukraine, and the start again of the world working together, the freight organization get crazy. And so to manage to get everything on time, we launched with DHL something that has never been done in the past with the sea freight, is that we chartered vessel. So we rented vessel, put only our containers there, and to have them traveling directly, not making any stop, having the speed we need to go directly to the place we need. And that's a big saving for the teams, because the air freight is very expensive. It's a big saving as well, as I mentioned, for the planet, because it's less damaging the planet. And so all together we put that. And the fact that we have a new race next year, the fact we use a charter vessel as well, will manage to reduce at only two legs by air freight compared to what we were doing in 16, where we have the same numbers of travel and there was four legs in plane. So this is what we're working on strongly at the moment.
That's incredible and really clever thinking. Really clever thinking, taking control of that sea freight element, which has a lot of things that can affect it. I like that. That's really clever. Out of those 170 containers there or thereabouts. How much actually is required for the series itself, not for the teams, in terms of how much freight do you have to carry around to make sure we get the lovely entrance to the paddock, the scrutineering equipment, etc., etc.?
On our side, we have 10 to 11 containers. Wow. And this is without speaking about a few other equipment that we have to transport for timekeeping, the DHL equipment or the TV and the catering and all this. If you put all together, and we have a lot of branding on track, which means that numbers of containers, it is around 10 to 15 containers that we have to travel. Wow. To make transport for our organization, which does not touch directly the teams. This is how we settle the paddock. When I speak about catering, is we organize the catering for most of the teams here. There's something, it's a behind the scene thing. We organize the team catering where all the teams are coming. It is in spirit of the endurance, having everyone eating at the same location where we share a time, because, okay, there's a big competition on track, but there's a real friendship out of the track and helpful people speaking all together. And wow, this is very important to us. And this is a bit of things now why we do a nice party tonight. And I'm sure John will explain to you that.
Yes, I brought the white shirt and the light-coloured trousers. It's a white theme for the end-of-season party, and everybody gets to mingle and talk about what's going on in the season. Well, let's look ahead to 2024 for WEC in particular, Pascal, if we may. We start the season in a new venue, Qatar, for the prologue and for the first round of the season. Now, quite clearly, the teams will turn up there in plenty of time, but how much work has already been done with the LaSalle circuit, with Qatar as a venue and as a country, before we even get to the stage where, say, the teams are turning up? I take it there's been site visits, etc., already.
Well, it's a challenging event, and it's going to be, as you said, a new facility. But it's new for everyone, even for the people from LaSalle, because they rebuilt completely the racetrack. It has been launched for Formula One a few weeks ago, and we had the chance with some people from our team to go over there, stay longer over there, had meetings with them to understand the location, because the racetrack we had visited at the very beginning before the constructions of the new facility was completely different to the amazing racetrack and paddock they built. So It is something new for everyone. We are going back again in 2 weeks' time with two or three people from my team, because another challenging thing we're going to have is that MotoGP is going to start their season at the same time they will going to be there, and they're going to do that official test just before our prologue and their first race just after our first race of the season. So we're going there to discuss with LaSalle people and as well the Dorna people to see how to fit and to match all the equipment we need to have, all the equipment they need to have, all the facility they need to build and that we need to have. So these things are going to be discussed in the next few weeks. And after that, we're going to get into the hard time of preparing everything. But there's a real wish to make a big event, a nice event, with very friendly people like we have here in Bahrain and most of the racetrack we're visiting. There's a really, we speak about the friendship that there's in the paddock, there's a friendship as well between the people from the racetrack, which are always very happy to welcome us, because the spirit we're trying to bring is the spirit of Le Mans, and the spirit of Le Mans is something very strong. And it takes the people all together to make a big event and a big party together.
Yeah, and it's that inclusivity, isn't it? I know exactly what you mean when you talk about the spirit of Le Mans. The spirit of Le Mans is not just about racing. It's about the people and how people work together. Back to Texas and the Circuit of the Americas. You and I have been around this paddock long enough to remember being there in the past. The racetrack is always raced very well. I'm pleased to see the WEC going back there to a venue that we've seen some super racing in the past. Tell me a little bit about, on a normal weekend, Pascal, how early are your team on site? So if you're racing, like here, we were racing on a Saturday, how much before do you come to the racetrack?
Well, for example, in Kota or ever whatever racetrack we're going, maybe except Europe racetracks, we normally arrive 2 days before the rest of the teams are entering in the paddock. So, for example, if a race is on the Saturday, we will arrive on the Saturday as well, the week before, and the teams will enter on the Monday morning.
Right.
Some of the hypercar teams, which a lot of the equipment, will enter a day earlier and to try to set up in advance their equipment. And for us, always the target has been to be able to be ready to welcome as much as possible the team and to be as efficient as possible. We have a very strong branding team with us, which makes hard work to prepare everything as quick as possible, firstly in the paddock, that the people arriving, the teams arriving in the paddock feels at home wherever they go. Yeah. It can be in Kota, Brazil, Bahrain, Imola or Spa. And then we are building the racetrack, where we have a bit of time and where the teams are not going immediately. So all the branding around the track is built. And then we're trying to bring all that branding a bit around the racetrack, that the people from the fans that are coming has that glitter of things when they're arriving and have the chance to get into our world, because it's the endurance world.
I like that. And a familiar face. As soon as the teams are coming in, even the advance parties for the teams, they see people they know and they can say, hey, where's such and such? Is that still in the same place? Has it moved? Or if it's a new track, they can ask questions and your team can say, actually, that's a good question. What you need to do is go down over. Yeah, I like that. That's very good. Okay, thank you for your time. And I know there's a lot of work going on here. I want to ask you a couple of final questions. First of all, what is your biggest worry? What would be your biggest nightmare coming into an event in terms of what could go wrong, what possibly some things that you've had to work to solve in the past with you and your team?
Well, the biggest worry is, we've spoke about it, is the freight. If the team's equipment or our equipment is not arriving in time, then the race cannot happen. And actually, it's something that happened in 2021, first time we came back after COVID in 22, where we first started to go back to Sebring. 20 of our containers were left on the ground in one of the European harbour, and if they were taking the next vessel, these containers would arrive after the race. So we had to charter planes and unload all the containers, load them in the planes to have them in time to get there. And to make it easy, the fuel that was supposed to arrive was delayed as well. And so we had to rush with push very hard. And DHL made an extraordinary work on this. Push very hard with the partnership we have with Total. Both work very closely together to make happen that enough fuel arrive the day of the race, because we were missing a few of equipment, fuel, and it arrived on Friday morning while the race was on Friday evening.
Oh,
and so sometimes we're lucky. People don't know me, but I have no more hair, so I can't lose anymore. So.
Yeah. He had a full head of beautiful dark hair when I first met him. I'm only kidding. All right, so that must give you a sense of pride, though, when you solve those problems. What are the things that make you happy, Pascal, over a season or over a weekend? So what are the things are you proud of and what do you enjoy about? There's so many people and so many facets to your job. There's so many people would go, no, I'm not getting involved with that. That is mental. So why do you enjoy it and what makes you happy?
Well, I always say to my team, our work is very simple. Our work is to make dream some kids which are watching behind the TV or listening on the radios, that drivers are getting fast and winning races. This is our work. So when you see a kid arriving on the racetrack and making a big smile, you know that you succeeded. And this is why we do that job. And for me, this is the best thing. And true, you spoke about the party for tonight, which is the party where we bring all the paddock. And it's going to be 1,200 people tonight on the beach somewhere where we're going to celebrate our champions. And, well, see all these people sharing all together is another good thing. So this is the two things that makes it wake up in the morning and you know you're doing something good.
You've been doing something good in this paddock for a very long time, Pascal, and I know that you have a very hard-working team. Let me shake your hand. Thank you for 2023. Good luck, bon chance, for 2024. I don't think you need luck, my friend. I know how very well organised and how very hard-working you are. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you. Thank you to you, John. Thank you to all your team, and thanks to all the people that are supporting us. Again, the smile is what we're looking for.
Pascal Demitri, the man behind all of the logistics and operations for not just the WEC, but the Asian Le Mans Series and the ELMS as well. Right, I'm going to let him get away now because he's got some packing cases to put in a truck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.